Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for David's life. Thank you for Saul's life. Lord, we take this to heart. We live in a day and an age when most men will not read your word. In fact, most men won't even teach your word. We live in that day that the Bible warned about, of heaping up teachers only to scratch an itch. We come tonight and we desire truth. We need truth, Lord. We recognize the great power of conforming to this world in the day and age we're living in. The last 15 years, Lord, what conforming power. We see it every day. So we look to you tonight and ask that you would strengthen your church, strengthen us each individually, strengthen the leaders. Want to know we're hearing your Holy Spirit. We want to trust that you've spoken to us in the Word. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So 1 Samuel 27:1 says, David said in his heart. Now, whatever happens next, everybody in here has to make a decision about when you speak in your heart. Right? Because the Scriptures reveal a fool says in his heart, there is no God. So do you dare listen to what thought comes into your heart? Yeah, you do have to listen to it. But you have to judge and test. Is it right? Okay. I offer up to you, and again, just by way of introduction tonight, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. What has the Holy Spirit said to David? And even when he was anointed, and then Jonathan prophesying, and even Saul, who had made David his enemy, when in that moment of, oh, you're more righteous than I am, David. And he even declares, and this message from the Holy Spirit has been consistent, that David is going to find himself all the way through and on the throne ruling in Israel. Now, I offer up to you, this is my offering up to you, and going to be a little personal for me tonight. Tonight is entitled Instructions in Righteousness. Big surprise for all of you who've been coming every week. Instructions in Righteousness, : Temptation. Now, we're introduced to David here just go back a verse, right? So you got to roll back into 1 Samuel 26. Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and thou shalt still prevail. David went on his way, Saul returned to his place. Then David said in his heart, now, offering up for you, this is January 23rd for me in my prayer closet. I don't let you in very often, but once in a while I get to let you into this. David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Hey, this is common, by the way. So take 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, mighty through God, to pull down strongholds, casting down every argument or high thing that has exalted itself above the knowledge of God. And then this part of 2 Corinthians 10, taking every thought into captivity. Well, here's how we learn in this temptation. Yes, David's being tempted, and it's coming from within on this one. In his heart, he says, I shall perish. Okay? I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape to the land of Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. So here it is. Said in his heart, Lord, this is easier to do than I thought. Do you hear that? This is common. So there is no temptation that has overtaken you except such that is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Get the address. Right? Memorize it. Write it on your heart. And tell another. Right? Because it is common. This saying in our heart, I'm just going to illustrate for you. This is exactly the way it works. And the first test is, I guess, offered up in the spiritual warfare belt of truth. Ask the question for every thought that comes in your heart and say what? Is it true? Now, I offer up to you here my notes. Lord, this is easier to do than I thought. Under the strain of enmity. Do you hear that? Under the strain of enmity. So the carnal mind is at enmity with God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Anybody want to wonder if Satan's an enemy of God? Satan means adversary. So again, just letting this kind of sink in this spiritual warfare. And we're hitting this tonight in the more, again, subtle tactics of Satan, right? And us learning just how much our Lord Jesus is there to help us. Okay? That's really where this goes. All right. Under the strain of enmity, the long fight with the flesh. Do you know that old Christians still war against youthful lusts? You understand that your flesh does not improve. Okay? You crucify it today, what do you got to do again in 20 minutes? Okay? Now you're starting to see in this enmity, the strain of enmity, the long fight with Saul, the enmity against my soul, if I can talk about that. We've been taught by the Holy Spirit to remain, abide, continue. Just take, again, the way it's described in the beginning, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There you've just established Satan's battleground. He'll do everything he can to destroy God's word over the oneness of one genetic male, one genetically born male, and one genetically born female. We're not mixing things up here, are we? Now, when I put this forth in this way, here's what we got to learn, and I think it's worth learning, and you'll catch it here in verse 1. We've got a couple passages up here. And you'll notice, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape. You catch the urgency? I got to get out of here. I got to leave. I got to quit. Now, this still comes. I mean, the temptation to, again, I reference marriage because that's a battleground when you put two together. But what about you and your work? The work that you're doing, or ministry, or pastoring, right? So like this idea of David, if David's not immune to this, saying in his heart, after what I would describe it this way. Okay? I would describe it, he's seeking to depart the difficulty. Maybe it's a chronic illness. Maybe it's a suffering. Maybe it's a loss. Maybe you go right through the list. In the last 4 years, I've lost my mom, my grandma. You can go right through the lost a spouse. You go right through that list. And this thought in the heart that it would be easier if I could escape. And if you look at it in 27:1, nothing better for them me to that I should speedily escape. It doesn't really matter where. All he can think about is, well, Saul never goes into the Philistine country, so I'll go there. He's not thinking, right? And neither are we when we are moved by a thought in our heart that's not true. Is David going to perish? He's not going to perish. But in that place of fearing destruction, many times one is fleeing, though in this case no one would be pursuing. So this is the temptation to escape, and it's in there twice. So shall I escape out of his hand, right? That's spelled just like escape. Why is it when life gets hard, church is the first thing to go? It's an interesting thing. When trouble, again, arises, and then difficulty, and then say work, marriage, family, children, all of a sudden children get older, get teenage years, and they turn towards rebellion, and then the family stop coming to church. Or they switch churches to the church with the best youth program, because perhaps they can still have their children in church. This thing repeats. And I just offer this up in this understanding. This, we begin right away, verse 1, and it's a temptation to escape. Because it's hard. It's difficult. The enmity, right? Saul is at enmity with David, and he wants to leave. Now, find your way over to Hebrews 2. Because I can't read the Old Testament without the New Testament, because Jesus came. And that's how I understand the Old Testament, because he reveals all things. And the whole thing's about him. I'm going to offer up for us tonight, and I'm going to call you all to an action regarding temptation. Okay? And your action is in Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We are living in the days where everything is negotiable in the world. Like the idea of, I am going to hold to what God said. Okay? Now we're on to something here. I'll just share this in a personal way with you. One Bible verse kept me alive in ministry for one whole year, day in, day out. And it's this one out of Galatians 6, right? Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, or if we faint not. Utterly spiritless, right, is that faint not. You know, I offer up to you that day in and day out. What do I need to do today? Now, if I had said in my heart, I'm quitting, and I did say in my heart, I'm quitting, I don't want to get out of bed and go do this again today. Maybe that's where some of you are at. Okay? And I'm just going to say this, Hebrews 2:1. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Okay? Lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward. King Saul versus King David. We'll unravel this thing. It's worth unpacking here a little bit. I'll be back there in just a bit. You can keep your finger there. Read a little bit more here. 1 Samuel 27:2. And David arose and he passed over with 600 men that were with him to Achish, to the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath. He and his men, every man with his household, took his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, and he sought him no more again for him. Now there's the worst part. When you listen to your heart, and it works. Now, 16 months is back to my devotional notes. On this escape for 16 months, not an unusual time frame for one to be on their own escape plan, departing the difficulty. I know many Christians who check out. Oh, they're in church. I remember this for years. Their body's in church, but the look in their eyes, they're 1,000 miles away. See, and this is the part that I don't know when the thoughts in the heart, right, mind, again, the way it's been, if you're not aware of this, you have been conditioned and conformed by this world to become feelings-based. So catch this, said in the heart, I shall perish someday by the hands of God. It's not rational. It's possible, but that's not at all what God has been saying. In fact, if you look at it, you know, God delivers the enemy into his hand. Twice, and he does righteousness. And how many times has David escaped from his hand? He's tired, and the temptation to escape, the constant, relentless persecution, he's departing the difficulty. 16 months. It's not too hard to end up with, if you will, five seasons have gone by. Why do we do six-month commitments in ministry? Well, because my pastor did. I didn't have to rework that whole thing. I found out later why. Again, because if you start a commitment, same thing I told my children when they took their first job, six-month commitment. You better choose your first job well. You make a good choice because you're there for at least 6 months. Why? Well, if you don't like it, you only got 5 more months to go. Right? You're going to learn a lot more by what? Not escaping every little thing that comes along that you don't like. I said in my heart, right? My supervisor's a jerk. But maybe you guys don't say that in your heart. Right? Or you say that in your heart and then you have the scriptures. Let us work hardly unto the Lord and not as unto men. Right? Giving glory to Jesus Christ in all that I say, think, do. I'm here to offer up tonight something that I believe we're going to learn from David's life, and I offer it in this way. Okay? Departing the difficulty, 16 months. You know, I applied it. Again, this is January for me. And again, I took a thought in my heart that day. I didn't know it. The thought came ahead of that. Then I came to this, and I look back at the thought. I'm like, it's a long-standing one. This takes me back 12 years ago when the Lord gave me Acts 20:35. Some of you ask me, like, why do I do what I do? I just say Acts 20:35. I don't know that one. I don't even tell you what it is. Go look it up, right? And I just offer this, that the thoughts in the heart about staying in that marriage, working out, again, repenting, reconciling, restoring, humbling yourself, working on love and submission, bringing your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So you have a rebellious child, we'll beat it out of them, right? Biblically, right? Always on the backside, always under control, actually the way God directed this to be done. People get scared of the word beat. It's a buzzword. You're living in this world, and again, one piece of the word can slip over a thought in the heart. And so I just had to determine, I cannot let the word slip. And here's what I then do in my decision making. Every decision that I've made has been anchored to the word of God. Give me the scripture, because if one scripture can hold me in place for a whole year, I know that God's word can override any thought in the heart that I might have. Helps me take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Because I've read through the rest of 1 Samuel, and I don't want to end up like Saul. Okay? So if you're back to Hebrews 2. You know, is the Bible relevant to you? It sure is to me. I don't know if the church has become so worldly that they can't relate to the issues of the heart related to what God's word says. And you know, and I look at this, not letting this slip. Let's see. We see Jesus, may the lower him and things. Oh, yeah. End of the chapter, Hebrews 2, 17 and 18, but especially 18. Right? 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted. Do you know temptation is a suffering? Tempted to quit and leave God. Every Christian deals with that. At some point, it might be tempted to quit serving him. You might be tempted by lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. Say, what's it worth anyway? Thought in the heart. Back to the word of God. Hebrews 2:18. Jesus himself, he himself suffered being tempted. He's my high priest. He's forever making intercession. Again, he delivered those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's all of us. In that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. Now, we got something to pick up here in this study, 2 chapters. Get away from my notes here now and on to where this thing rolls out. So David ends up with Achish, the guy he pretended to be mad before, chapter 21. Now he goes there again. Speedily escape. I know how to get there. Right. Do you know how many poor decisions are made at a I-just-gotta-get-out-of-here moment? Okay. Now, it was told Saul that David fled to Gath and sought him no more again for him. Now, I searched this out. I had a hunch, and I did a little searching to see if anybody else would take a stand on it. No record of any psalms being written for 16 months. No new worship songs. Right? No sermons where the Holy Spirit opened up the scriptures and revealed and brought life to others, if I may use these analogies. Oh, might still be going through the motions. Okay? Now, this for me, as I come to this and I offer this up in this way, you know, David runs to Achish in verse 5. He says, if I found grace in thine eyes, let me have a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? And the worst part about this is it's working. The speedy escape. He gets favor from Achish. He gives him Ziklag. Now, by the way, we're going to study in next week about what happens at Ziklag, and there's a big difference between Saul and David that we'll pick up. You know, and again, I just think in my mind, Psalm 37, I think it's 24, about not utterly being cast down. And I might stumble, I might fall, but the hand of the Lord will hold me up. Now, Saul, we'll get to it next week, but we're going to see him tonight, utterly cast down. In other words, he let everything slip. And I look at something like that, and I'm thinking of this, take the more earnest heed unto the things we have heard. All of you should be able to recount at this point in my life this scripture. You hear that? At this point in my life, this scripture. Okay? Some of you might have received a life verse, and then you can see that verse. Whoa, that's like here, here, here. Keeps me on track. Okay? So we don't let these things slip. I need help being tempted. Why? Because I'm going to have thoughts in my heart. You're going to have thoughts in your heart. We're all going to want to speedily escape something. And it might go down as simple unto these thoughts that come within. Like, again, I don't want to put thoughts in there. But even into your own person where nobody else knows. And those thoughts, anchor them to the Word of God. When you say in your heart, say, is it true? God has said. God has said this to me. God has said in His Word. For example, now, we get into this. Because let's ask the question, Lord, would I be a Saul? Is this going to happen to me at the end of my days? I offer up to you, if you're in Christ Jesus, no. Because He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But if you know what Saul was capable of, then you take a more earnest heed unto the things you have heard, and you say, I am going to watch this in me, because I know me and I'm going to keep an eye on that, so I'm not going to be exalted in pride and work a disobedience, because I know that every disobedience receives a just reward. Oh, that was Hebrews. That's the verse I wanted. Did I read that one yet? Hebrews. Come back to me, Hebrews. Oh, yeah. The word spoken by angels was steadfast. 2:2. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Do you hear that? So David says what? I got to escape. Yeah. So here it is. Alternate title. Stumbling, falling, and utterly cast down. Guess which category? Righteous David, even though he stumbles and falls, what does he do? He's going to get back up at great cost when he looks like he's losing it all at Ziklag. We'll get to that next week. But just to give this foreshadow of what this is, he gets Ziklag, and it belongs to the kings of Judah to this day. At that time, David dwelt in the country of the Philistines, a full year and 4 months. There's your 16 months, your five seasons. Again, longer than a six-month commitment. You've gone through the year once. You repeat it again. You know, some of you don't do well this again this year. Right? Okay, so it's gone longer than a year. David and his men went up, invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites. Those nations were of old, the inhabitants of the land that goes to Shur, even to the land of Egypt. So that's all in the southern part of Israel today. David smote the land, left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, oxen, and asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, "Where have you gone today? Where have you made a road today?" David said, "Against the south of Judah, against the south of the Jerahmeelites, against the south of the Kenites." Now, what happens when a Christian escapes back to the world for 16 months? They start to live like the world. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? I mean, you take a verse like that, and I don't know what verse it is for you, but I want to open your heart, your understanding, your love to the Word of God. The things, and then take the ones the Spirit gives you when you're reading, and the Holy Spirit says, "This verse is for you." See, God's Word is this way. I'm not surprised why the world's losing it. But as believers, we in this relationship with God, and we have prayer, and you can anchor. And you look at this with David, and now he's living like the world. Okay? Yes, David is living like the world. David saved neither man nor woman alive in case the news would get back to Gath, lest they should tell on us, saying, "So David did, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." Now, may I offer up to you, it's not too hard for a Christian to compromise with an initial thought of in my heart, I guess that movie's not that bad. Whatever it might be, well, one drink isn't gonna. I don't know where it slips. All I know is what the Holy Spirit said to me. That's not for you, right? And so then I anchor that to the Word of God. Okay, and what's the anchor to the Word of God? Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I take that, and I'm like, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I put that in the Word. Okay, Achish believed David; he hath made his people Israel utterly abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever. Now, Satan will take you in for a false comfort and time. Don't let it slip. Now, let's pick up a couple temptation things before we move into Saul. Let's see here. I got this. Okay. No temptation has overtaken you. Right? First, you got 10:13. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay, very important. Hebrews 2:18, 3:9, 4:15, James 1:13. This is the one I want. I want James, let's see, let's go here, because I want 12. James 1:12, 13, 14. Instruction in righteousness, temptation. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. So if you look at temptation, I am being tested and tried, and I might even be tested and tried by the enemy to get me sin against God, or to escape, or to leave God, or not trust God, to have fear of my own life. I might be being tested and tried to actually go my own way. Okay? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. James 1:12. It does not say, blessed is the man who gets out of temptation as quickly as he can. Because a lot of times the way of escape is what? Right? Because God is faithful to always give you a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Oh, David's being tried. You don't know it yet. But he's two verses away from being almost hooked into fighting against his people Israel because of all of his deceit, making it look like Israel is now his enemy. You ever meet Christians who actually end up kind of fighting against other Christians? And it's an interesting thing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now that's the test and try, is it? Will you love the Lord when you're being tested and tried and tempted to sin? You say, no, I love God. I'm not going to do that. I love God. I'm not going to do that. Joseph, right? Tempted, right? Potiphar's wife comes to him and he says, I'm not going to sin against God. Let no man say when he is tempted, right? James 1:13, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. That is why you don't dare listen to the thoughts in your heart. And then you can also write in your margin Jeremiah 17:9 concerning not listening to your heart. Okay, now let's move into chapter 28. Instruction in righteousness, temptation. Right? I don't think we should let these things slip. And you look at that. It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered together their armies for warfare. We just came out of this on Sunday, spiritual warfare. I mean, warfare, you got a great opportunity here to just jump into this. There's a warfare, and I'm being tempted to. Even if you let the word of God slip. I mean, you're waiting for your spouse. You're single. You've been keeping yourself. You're waiting for your spouse. And like the thought in your heart, well, I don't know if anybody's out there for me or not. And you can't let that slip. You got to hold to what God said for you. You know, or maybe you're divorced, right? And now you're single and you're like tempted to, and you're like, no, I can't let that slip. And these are the things in our lives. You know, and maybe you're tempted to steal, to lie, and so you got to catch this because it's warfare, and the enemy comes, and David's going to find himself being enlisted on the wrong side. See, friendship with the world is enmity with God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. You can end up with a wisdom that came from the world. And you end up with a wisdom in an action that ends up being at enmity with God's will for your life by the Holy Spirit. How do I solve and fix all this? It's called carrying the cross of Jesus Christ. Humbling myself, saying, I could be wrong, pretty good chance I'll be wrong, but I know that I can test this if I test this by the cross of Jesus Christ. Thus, testing the words in my heart. Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go with me to battle, thou and thine men. Do you hear that one? Achish says, you're in my army. The way you've been fighting, I want you on my side. David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. I don't know what it means by that. Achish said to David, therefore will I make the keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead. All Israel lamented for him, buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those who had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. The Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. Okay. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched near Gideon Springs, Sophni, where we go swimming. Now, the mountains of Gilboa is right ahead of that. This is the Jezreel Valley. You have Mount Tabor, you have Jerusalem up the other side, you have Megiddo on the other side of the valley, and then you've got Endor, which we'll get to Endor, right at the right right at the, again, I guess Endor was a pretty big city at this point, right at the, sort of at the foot of Tabor. Saul put away the familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. The necromancers might be one of the words. Those that would seek the dead for, or pretend to, either way. And again, even as they would be consulting the dead, might even, some of the times the word is used like they would be the channel to then speak the words that the dead person supposedly wants them to say. Come under a trance, conjuring up. Those are the words. Absolutely forbidden by God's word. Saul took the stance after having read the law, because every king was supposed to have the word. Okay. Now the same warning comes, and we're going to watch a couple of different things unfold here. Saul had put them out of the land. The Philistines gathered themselves together. Okay, Saul saw the host. Oh, verse 5. Saw Saul when the host of the Philistines, okay, that's the word of the army, he saw the warfare. And this might be enough for you too, just to recognize the enemy, right? What Satan's capable of doing, what you want to do in agreement, right? The host, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. And when you look at that word trembled, it's a word to describe what happens when the earth quakes. So he is shaken. Okay? When Saul inquired of the Lord, verse 6 is a key verse. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Now for 16 months, David's been gone from Saul. Saul has every opportunity now to do what? Okay. Now, if David really was his problem, now just hear this, Christian, right? Remember Adam's words? Lord, it's the wife you gave me. God, it's your fault and my wife's fault. Whatever, right? But how easy is it to what? And I'm going to go right here. We are not victims. Absolutely everything that comes into our life has been allowed by God our Father. No matter how you count it, no matter how you speak in your heart about the other or this happened to me, okay? Because I can't let this slip. If you let that slip, then you're no longer going to trust God. Okay? And we can't let that slip. Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Now, we've been there, right? Think of yourself, your own life. You need something really bad from God, and you're what? You're praying, and it's like heaven is a ceiling, and your prayers don't get past the ceiling. Now, the book of James describes prayer and some of those more difficult, why I'm not getting, when you're not really asking. Or when you are asking, you just want to spend it on your pleasure. It's not really for what God's will is. And so if you're not going to pray according to God's will, you think you're going to get your answer. It's not rub the bottle, out comes a genie called God and gives you three wishes of everything you desire. I really miss my friends. I wish they were back here with me. Now, I offer this up in this way. God didn't answer him, neither by dreams, not even by the Urim. Right? So that the ephod, the lights and perfection, I mean, how do you not get an answer there when the way it's described, it's a black stone and a white stone. And he gets nothing from God, even out of the lights and perfection of the Urim with the priest. No prophet, no answer, nothing. Now, here is where, again, 1 Samuel 28:7, tie that together with Hebrews 2:1. This is why we're going to take the more earnest heed lest anything would slip. Then Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, a necromancer, a medium. So when he can't hear from God anything that's coming, he's going to do anything he can in any way to know what's coming, what he should do, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, oh, you got rid of all them. It's not what they said. Behold, there's a woman that hath a familiar spirit next town over at Endor, the witch of Endor, how most people know her as. Saul disguised himself. So he's the really, really tall king that's head and shoulders above everybody else. Put on other raiment, and he went. 2 men went with him. They came to the woman by night. He said, I pray thee, divine unto me, right, divination, the familiar spirit, and bring him up whom I shall name unto thee. He's like, I'm going to give you a name, and I want you to bring that spirit up. The woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul has done, how he has cut off those that have familiar spirits, wizards, out of the land. Wherefore then thou layest a snare for my life and caused me to die. Is this a trick? Right? Now, do you recognize, even from her mouth, there is a what? Way of escape. See, what happens for us when, right? Again, think about it, being tempted. I teach young believers this, all believers. Instead of thinking and planning what's going to happen to you when you do all these things, when you're being tempted, I've done that before, I'm going to do it again. Instead of doing that, look for the way out. You know God's going to give you a way out. Lord, show me the way out. Give me the stop or the left, the right. Maybe I jump over it. I don't know the way out. Or better yet, it's a word or a phone call. You ever been at that place and a Christian calls you? One of your friends calls you? I've had that where my pastor calls me up and said, what's going on today? I'm praying for you a lot. I said, well, what do you know? He's like, what are you doing? And he has a word of knowledge. I mean, it's like these things that, and again, this consulting of the demonic, right? Again, that's what it is. Saul, swear unto her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, there shall be no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up for thee? And he said, I'll talk to Samuel. Now, there's a former Calvary Chapel pastor in Nunman. This is an old story, but I just offer it up in this way. Him and his wife, their son died a tragic death. And they began to talk to their son from beyond the grave. Are you hearing me? Believing that God had given them a special dispensation to be able to continue the relationship with their son from the dead. Okay. Now, what do you call that? That's necromancy, right? Does God give a special dispensation because you're a pastor and it was so tragic? You do realize when most people are talking to who they think they're talking to, it's either a combination of, or again, talking to dead pets. People who are, their pets have died, and then they get a necromancer to get them to a pet whisperer, but not just a pet whisperer, a dead pet whisperer. This is what your pet wants to say to you. Now, it would be funny if it wasn't what? True. See, we live in such a day. I mean, honestly, I don't do this because we're to be wise concerning that which is good, but we're to be simple concerning that which is evil. With this internet, what couldn't you find how to do or find someone to do it for you? You're already aware of that. Raised my children, right, from a young age without the internet. There's a newsflash, parents, right? Keep them away from that thing until you can introduce them at a right age and get them to judge rightly. And I told them all, I said, don't you dare come back to me and say, Dad, you know what's out there? As if I didn't know. I said, I know it's out there, but you don't even know about it because I'm not going to let you know about it. See, these things are rampant in the world and then in churchianity, and so you can't let this slip. And then you have a high priest who is tempted in all ways as we are, and yet without sin, and he sympathizes with us in our weakness, and he is able to help us. But you can't let this slip. Okay? And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried aloud with a loud voice. Now, what we don't know is that this is the first time that it actually worked. If she was just making the whole thing up and pretending. We don't know that. Or, again, you can roll right with it as she's telling the truth. I mean, I think she is. Woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? Thou art Saul." Can you imagine her right in that spot? The Saul, she even says, "The king, this is illegal activity. What do you? I'm not gonna do this for you. This is forbidden." No, it's okay, right? And then the moment that the one that he asked for, then she knows it's Saul. And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what thou saw, what do you see?" Right. Woman says, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Again, Elohim is the word there, not capital G. Again, describing she's seeing activity in the spiritual realm. Dead, right? Spirits coming up. And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" "He's an old man, covered with a mantle." And look at this. Saul perceived that it was Samuel. He stopped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Now, the creepy part that's probably really going on is that it's probably the woman talking with this other voice. Right? Necromancer, medium, because he's not seeing. He has to ask her, "What are you seeing?" Because he's not seeing. He's trusting that she can see and hear into that realm and that he can get some information from the dead. Now, something to be said about the cautionary, right? We can't let this slip. If God gives you a special dispensation on anything, or God's going to allow you to sin for the weekend, what do you know? That's not God. That's not God. Oh, you can do it just this once. No. Don't let that slip. Samuel said to Saul. So I envision here that it's the woman speaking, but now she's this channel, this medium for this spirit that everybody is believing is Samuel. Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Why'd you bother me? Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. And look at this, God has departed from me, and answereth me no more." Now, I don't think he needed to hear from God for the last 16 months. You hear that? Now, Christian, how long can you go without hearing from God intimately in the Word? You hear that? "Nor by dreams, therefore I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Don't believe the books written by the people who said they went to heaven and saw all these lights and all these experiences. It's no different. Some of them have been outright frauds, right? But there's absolutely nothing we could know that it would ever be true, because Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. That's Sunday's Bible study. You see where we're at? All of a sudden we hit this warfare and then demonic deception, spiritism. Is there spiritism going on in our city? Absolutely. See, what happens when a witch gets saved? Or a wizard, that is a King James word for that as well. What happens? They have to what? Forsake all. See, prophet, it's... Then Samuel said, Wherefore, then, dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. I listen to guys teach this, and like, I mean, is it Samuel or not? You know, and everybody tries to take a stab at it. The scriptures just go with what the scripture says. Okay? If you're looking at it. So, you look at the action here. Then said Samuel. What was verse 16? Guess what? It's Samuel. How does that work? I have no idea. I don't want to know. Wherefore then dost thou ask of me? If the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, given unto thy neighbor, even unto David, because thou obeyed not the voice of the Lord, nor executedst his fierce wrath upon Amalek, wherefore hath the Lord done this thing unto you this day. Now, that's probably, what, 10 years or so ago? Do you hear that? So along comes this, well, we've been doing this for 10 years. Go back to the Calvary Chapel pastor, former, right? I don't know how they got him to stop. I don't know who got, like, you can't do this. You can't be both. I've tried that before, too, to work with someone like that. And then they don't talk to me anymore. You can't do both of these, right? And time passes. Right, years pass, and then comes the day. Right. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all day nor all the night. So he's even doing what? To hear God. He's fasting to hear God, doing whatever he can. The woman came unto Saul. Now again, I don't know if it, you know, like if he actually saw and Samuel appeared and everybody saw. We don't know that. But there's a clear reference here now. Now the woman comes, so it's over. And saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, behold, thy handmaid hath obeyed thy voice. I have put my life in my hand, and I have hearkened unto thy words, which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken unto me, the voice of thy handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou may have strength when thou goest on thy way. Or, you got to go now, right? She's going to feed him. He refused, said, I won't eat. His servants together with the woman compelled him. He hearkened unto their voice. He rose from the earth and sat upon the bed, and the woman had a fat calf in the house. She hastened, killed it, took flour, kneaded it, baked unleavened bread thereof. She brought it before Saul and before her servants, they did eat, and they rose up and went their way that night. Now, we're going to go through the next three chapters next week. Now, the temptation to do evil. Okay? The temptation to sin. Same thing. Because sin, for me, would be evil. I hope it's the same thing for you. So the thoughts in the heart. Now, there's only three sources of every thought. It's either God, the devil, or yourself. Okay? Find your way to 1 John 4. It's the best help I can give you tonight. If any of you have not yet read Warren Wiersbe's little booklet, which was actually sermons that were compiled into a booklet, a series he did on Satan, the strategies of Satan, how to detect and to defeat him. Because this is subtle. 1 John 4:4 is an instruction, and I give this instruction, and then new believers still say, well, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right? They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears us not. Hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. How do you test, right? How do you try? Well, first and foremost, right? Satan cannot possess a Christian. Best thing my pastor ever said to me, he says, Holy Spirit's not into timeshare. But you need to take the more earnest heed when I talk about these tragic stories of, again, I know of, you know, this former Calvary Chapel pastor, him and his wife together are believing they're hearing from their son from the other side. Okay? So you need to take the more earnest heed to the things you have heard, lest you let them slip. Well, what have I heard? I have heard, right, that I am of God, and I'm God's child, and I can overcome. Because if that's compelling, and you really, and you're hurting so badly, and you miss your son, and then along comes this false spirit and starts using certain phrases that only you used with your son. You see, what you have to hold to, you say, that's not of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because I have the scripture saying, he can't return to us, but I will go to him. Just an example in that realm. And testing the spirits. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Right? You got to be able to handle and test and see what do I think is happening? Is that necromancy? Is that witchcraft? Okay, is it all these known things from all time that Deuteronomy 18 under the law, Leviticus 20 under the law spells out in detail, not for the people of God? Oh, but we're New Testament. No, that would be such a not learning from the things that they were written. To under the law, delivered to them, and every disobedience a just reward. Oh, I got to obey the scriptures. That's your conscience, right? What you're reading and what he's given you and what he's said, you got to obey the scriptures. How do you get out of temptation? Well, how did Jesus get out? You don't actually get out of temptation. You're in it and enduring until what? Until Satan flees from you. Submit unto God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. If you're still in resistance mode, what do you know? You're in a good spot. Still resisting. Okay? So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the things that were written. Lord, we understand Saul's destruction, his pride, his disobedience, and that it's his day to die in battle. And we'll study that next week. Lord, we want to be here tonight, held and kept by your word and testing every thought that comes into our heart. Lord, help us not to follow our hearts, but to trust what you said in your word. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.